Welcome back to Our Savior's Lutheran on the internet. We are glad that you have joined us once again. And today is a great day because we are introducing a new recording engineer. Our new ministry coordinator, Chrissy Roz Mason, has joined us, and she will be doing this with us from now on. So welcome aboard, Chrissy. It's wonderful to have you. So we are continuing now with our story of Joseph. We are now up to chapter 42 in Genesis. If you remember, Joseph had gone through a number of trials, and now he had been put in charge of all of Egypt to make sure that during the 7 years of plenty, enough would be stored up so that they would have plenty of grain for the 7 years of famine that were to come afterwards. And so that's where we're going to pick up, and I will turn over to Pastor Jennifer at this point.
So by this time, Joseph is very wealthy. He is in charge of a great deal. He is the Pharaoh's right-hand man, in charge of distribution of food and many other things. And, you know, Joseph's a grown-up now. He's married. He has two sons. And he's doing very well for himself. And so all of the injustices that had happened to him throughout his life seemed to be a distant memory until one day. The 7 years of plenty have passed, and now they're in the 7 years of famine that Pharaoh's dream prophesied and Joseph interpreted. And so there are nations around Egypt that are very much in need of food because not everyone knew that there was going to be a famine. And they hear very quickly that Egypt has enough food for them. And so they come to Egypt by droves trying to get some of the food that Joseph and the Pharaoh and the others have stored up for the last 7 years. And lo and behold, Joseph is there one day handing out food or selling food to those who come, and who should come but his brothers.
But not all of them.
Not all of them. Most of them. The ones who are the guilty parties, those who were going to kill him from the beginning, those who threw him in a pit and then sold him to be a slave. And so it seems the story has come full circle, and so now Joseph is the one in power. And Joseph immediately recognizes that his 10 brothers are standing before him, but they don't recognize him. They probably all assume that he was long dead and that they would never see him again. Though what happened to him, it seems, probably has plagued them for their entire lives. That's not something that you get over very quickly. And so these brothers come to Joseph, and they ask this governor of Egypt to sell them some food so that they can take it home to their father Jacob and to all of those in their household. And Joseph decides, well, I could just sell them the food. I could just tell them who I am, but what fun would that be? I think I'll play with them a little bit. And so Joseph, instead of saying, okay, here's your food, or saying, hey, it's your brother, I'm alive, he says, you people are spies. You've just come here to spy on us. And so you've come to find out where we're weak and how you can defeat us so that you can get our food supply. And the 10 brothers, you know, get wide-eyed and say, no, we're not doing that at all. We're just hungry. We want food. We just want to take our food and go home to dad and, you know, live a peaceful life. And Joseph says, I don't believe you. I'm throwing you in prison. And so he throws them all in prison for 3 days, which you got to think about what Joseph is thinking at this time. Is he just chuckling to himself at the irony of it, or is he actually truly angry at them and wants to punish them? We don't really know, but it is quite the dramatic affair.
And you can just see how the emotions of Joseph are playing out in this whole thing too, because you get the emotion of when the brothers first arrive and how he sees them for the first time. Could you imagine what would happen if you see the people who are responsible for getting you sold into slavery, getting you to go into jail, spending all of that time there? I mean, there must have been some anger coming through all of that. And then that's played out also with the whole thing about having him thrown into jail for 3 days. And I also agree with you. We don't know if he's just sort of chuckling about it, this is something getting even, if there's a lot of anger, or even maybe he's trying to see, are they really coming there for something that is good and right? Or is there still some of the trickster that was in them coming out to play as well?
So on the third day of their imprisonment, Joseph goes and gets them and says, all right, here's the deal. I am someone who fears God, and I want you to prove that you're honest men. And so what I want you to do is one of you will stay here as collateral, making sure that the rest of you will someday come back, and the rest of you go home to your father, and you bring home the brother you didn't bring along with you, who's Benjamin. And just a side note, Benjamin was the younger of Rachel and Jacob's two sons. They had Joseph, and Joseph was the favored son. And then just before she died, Rachel gave birth to Benjamin. And so that's Joseph's only full brother. And he wants to see his brother. That's the reason that he's sending them home, to bring his brother to him. And so he says, if you leave one of your brothers, that's fine. And then you all have to go and you bring your youngest brother back with you, and then we'll talk. And they all get wide-eyed again, because they know that since Joseph was gone, Benjamin is now the favored son. And if anything were to happen to Benjamin, Jacob would never forgive the other 10. And so they finally reluctantly agree, knowing that they don't really have a choice. And Joseph gives them enough food to bring back to their family, but just for a little while, and they all go back to get their baby brother.
But before they go back, Reuben steps in and has a little bit of a I told you so moment going on here, I believe. Basically, what he's saying there is, you know, folks, didn't I tell you way back when that you shouldn't have done anything to Joseph? It's because of what happened to Joseph that this is going on. And so you didn't listen then. Now we have to pay the price because of what you did so many years ago. That's why this is going to happen. And Joseph heard all of this, because even though he had an interpreter there, he understood what they were saying. And so he then continued on, and the brothers went back to Canaan in order to follow through on the agreement that they made.
So the brothers go home and they report to Jacob what has happened. And Joseph has given them enough grain to take home for their families. But what he does before they leave is he takes the money that they were going to pay for this grain and he puts it back in their bags. And they see that and they're very, very nervous and afraid about that, because they're afraid of being accused of stealing the grain. But this is just another little trick that Joseph was playing on his brothers. So he takes, they all go home, they explain to Joseph, to Jacob, what has happened, that they're accused of being spies, and the only way they can prove their innocence is by bringing Benjamin back. And Jacob, of course, is very hesitant to let his youngest son go, but knowing that there's really no other option, that's exactly what happens. They bring Benjamin, and they go back to Egypt with their bags, with the money that's left in there, and they go back to see Joseph again.
Now, the famine had gotten worse, and that's why they went back once again. And Joseph knew that was going to happen. I mean, he knew this 7 years of struggle was going to be going on. And so the famine was getting a lot worse. And so finally, they agreed, and they're going back, and Benjamin's coming with them, and they're going to be heading back into the lion's den, as it might be, because they know that they're going to have to face Joseph. And their other brother has still been sitting in jail there this entire time. So they were heading back to get everything ready, and they thought, you know what? If Benjamin's going to, what we're going to do is make sure that we bring the best gifts that we can, so that Joseph will see that, you know, we really are good people. We're not spies. We're coming here under good terms. So they packed up everything they could, perfume, honey, spices, nuts, almonds, anything they could do, plus twice the amount of money for all of the grain, because they still assumed that there was a mistake while that their money got returned to them last time. So they loaded all that stuff up, they took Benjamin, and they headed back on down. Well, once they got there, they got in front of Joseph once again, and he saw Benjamin, he saw all of these other people, and then he turned around to one of the servants that he had at the time, and he said, you know what? I want you to take these people here to my own house. We're going to go and we're going to slaughter an animal, we're going to cook it, we're going to have a great celebration. And so he loaded everybody up and they went in there. On the way, though, the brothers didn't know exactly what was going on. And they started to think, what's really happening here? Are we going back this way because the money was in our sacks? Is he going to arrest us? Is he going to make us slaves? Is he going to throw us into jail as well? They just didn't know what was going on. Well, they got up to Joseph's house, and as soon as they could, they told the servant who was in charge, you know what, when we left last time, we found out that we had all of this money back with us. We didn't mean to. We don't know where it went or how it got there, but it was back there. And the servant replied, you know, don't worry. Something's must have been going on, because the God you worship and your father worship, he must have put that money back, because I received your payment in full. And then he brought Simeon, who had been there in jail for all this time, out with them, and they decided to have this great feast. During the feast, then, Joseph started to ask questions about what was going on back in the home country. What's going on with your dad? Is he still alive? He starts to learn about all of this, and then turns and he sees Benjamin. And he is so moved by seeing Benjamin, his youngest brother, that he actually has to leave the room because he was so moved and started to weep because of it. Then they served this great meal, and Benjamin at this time was given 5 times as much as everyone else, and everybody who had gathered had a wonderful time.
But the tricking isn't over with. Joseph is overcome with emotion that his youngest brother is there, but he decides he needs to play one last trick on the other brothers. And so he tells the person that's in charge of the grain to fill up the sacks again with grain for them to take home and to put the money back on top as he did before, but also to take Joseph's own silver cup and put it in Benjamin's sack so that it would be discovered that Benjamin had stolen Joseph's silver cup and then he would be thrown in prison. And that's exactly what happens. As they're about to leave, Joseph has his stewards looking through their sacks, making sure that they've been honest. And lo and behold, there's Joseph's silver cup. And immediately Joseph accuses Benjamin of stealing. And, you know, you take advantage of my merciful nature. You take advantage of my sharing my meal with you and you steal my silver cup. And so throw this man in prison. Well, the other brothers are, you can imagine, are about ready to keel over because they have made promises to Jacob that they will do everything in their power to get Benjamin back safely. Reuben, the oldest, even said, "I have 2 sons. If I don't bring Benjamin back to you safely, you can kill my 2 sons. Basically, that's what a big priority it was for them to bring Benjamin back to Jacob safely because he was the beloved son. And so, again, they plead with Joseph and say, "Please, please, please don't take me instead. Don't take Benjamin. My father will just die if Benjamin doesn't come back. You can keep all of us. You can keep any one of us in his place." And so they just plead and beg so that Benjamin could be freed. And at that time, Joseph realizes that the tricking has to be over. And he becomes very overcome with emotion because he's seen that his brothers have changed. I think the tricking was in part to see who they really were now. These are younger men who had sold him into slavery, who were jealous of him. But in their older age, they had learned to become more selfless. And Joseph discovered through all of this that his brothers took care of one another, that it wasn't that they were going to hurt one another or forsake one another just for their own well-being. And he's very overcome with emotion, not only that they're being more selfless, but just at being in their presence again and to realize that finally their family can be back together. And so finally, Joseph has to leave to compose himself again, and then he comes back in to reveal who he is. And that's exactly what he does. He finally tells them, "Do you not recognize me? I am the brother, the one that you thought was dead. And I've been in Egypt all this time. And you intended it for ill, but God intended it for good. Because you sold me into slavery, now our family will be completely provided for. Because I was here to be able to, you know, gather enough food throughout these years of famine so that we could provide for our whole family together."
One of the amazing parts of this entire thing with me is how Joseph, through all of it, can look back and see how the hand of God and the blessings he was given really showed up throughout all of this. I mean, so often it would be easy for us in situations like this to really look at all of the bad things that happened. I mean, just imagine everything that happened to him throughout his entire life. It would be so easy to get stuck in the depression and the sorrow of, "Woe me, why are all these bad things happening?" But Joseph is able to see beyond it. He's able to see how through all of this stuff, he was given even greater gifts. how he was able to see down the road now, he is able to provide for his family in a way he never could have if he hadn't been sold into slavery, if he hadn't gone into jail, if he hadn't interpreted all of these dreams. Through all of this, he sees the hand of God. He sees the blessings, and he's able to share those blessings with his family and with so many other people as well.
So the rest of the book of Genesis is about what happens next. Obviously, Joseph doesn't want to wait any longer to see his father. He knows the grief that his father must have gone through all those years, thinking that Joseph was dead. And so he sends his brothers home with huge piles of food and livestock to show his love for his family. And he sends them home to bring Jacob back. And as soon as Jacob hears that Joseph is still alive, he says, "All right, let's go. I want to see my son before I die." And so eventually they bring the whole family, all of their children and grandchildren, which, you know, was a major operation. You can just imagine how many people that was. You know, he had 12 sons and a daughter, at least, probably more. And they all had families, and they all moved to Egypt to be with Joseph and to be provided for through these years of famine. And because Joseph was such a powerful man at the time, they all became very wealthy and were very powerful and became a very well-known family throughout all of Egypt.
One of the things that came on with it later is as Jacob gets older in years, he realizes that his life is coming to an end, and he makes one deal with his brother, with his son, especially with Joseph, basically saying, "When I die, I don't want to be buried in this land. I want to go back to the land we had been promised. I want to go back to where I helped to raise my family. So when it is time to bury me, you need to take me back to that land." And Joseph agrees that that is something that they will honor. They will take him back to that promised land that God had given to them so many years before.
Right at the very end in chapter 50, as if the brothers didn't realize that Joseph had forgiven them, they start freaking out again and say, "Oh, what if Joseph still bears a grudge against me? We have to get his forgiveness." And so they go to Joseph saying that Jacob wished for Joseph to actually forgive his brothers before he died. And so Joseph says, "Of course, I forgive you. I've given you all of this, and even though you intended to harm me, God intended all of this so that our whole family could be saved and protected in this time." And so all is forgiven, though of course not forgotten. And so Jacob's family, who's quickly becoming the nation of Israel, settles in Egypt, and that becomes their place.
And now we have worked our way through the book of Genesis. It's taken us a few weeks. We've gone fairly quickly through some of it, but we've seen some of the major stories that help lead us up to Egypt and how we got there. And starting in the next week or so, we will be starting to see how we come out of Egypt. So we'll be diving into the book of Exodus and start playing with some of the stuff there. As usual, if you have any questions or comments, please send us an email. We would love to hear from you if you have any ideas or thoughts that you would like to share with us. Do you have any closing thoughts at this time?
Nope.
There we go. So thank you very much for joining us once again, and we hope that you have a blessed day.